Christ alone. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you for what you're doing right now. Thank you for great testimonies we shall share because of your faithfulness. We thank you for teachings we have received in the past Bible study classes. We thank you, Lord, because through these teachings, you have opened our eyes to see the wonders of your ways, the wonders of your truth, and the wonders of your nature and kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for causing us to believe the truth, despite what the devil is doing all over the world to cause men believe lies. Thank you, Father, because you have not allowed us to believe lies. You are helping us day and night to believe the truth, to practice the truth, to obey the truth, and to promote it, to preach it to everyone, to teach it to everyone. Thank you for the grace you have given to us to hold firmly onto your word of truth. Thank you, Lord. We also thank you, for we know you have great plans to transform us into the personality you want us to be. Thank you, because you're going to change us into the person that will fulfill your calling and destiny on our lives. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for every student of this weekly Bible study class. We thank you, Lord, for what you have in store for every one of us. I ask, Father, that those that need to join this class session, wherever they are right now, let them be reminded to join this class in the name of Jesus. I ask, Father, that every distraction the devil has created in their lives, even in their environment and around them right now, to hinder them from participating in this class teaching, Lord, let your mighty hand remove such distractions now, in the name of Jesus. I ask that you speak expressly through my voice and words for the edification of everyone that will be listening to this teaching. Lord, speak expressly and let everyone be blessed. Thank you, Father, because we know that you have answered and you will do beyond our expectations. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. And I believe that you have not come to meet Apostle, but you have come to meet the Lord. And he will speak to you during the course of this teaching. It will minister to you and you will be blessed. Amen. So we are going to continue from where we stopped during the last class. And hopefully, maybe we might round off this particular teaching series we have been doing today. Hopefully, we might round off today. And you know that we have been talking about the need for believers' fellowship. And we are under point number 3, which is holding meetings. Holding meetings. How we should hold church meetings or fellowship meetings, and what we should do whenever we come together. Yeah, we have talked about point 3A, which is everyone can contribute something. When we come together as Christians, as believers, every one of us is being given an opportunity to contribute something. Yeah, I said that during the last teaching. Yeah, if you have a gift of fellowship, is a place to manifest that gift. Fellowship meetings is a place to express the gifts of God in you, though it has to be darliness, which is what point 3B was saying. It says, be united and orderly during fellowship meetings. So the fact that everyone can contribute something in fellowship meetings doesn't mean that we must not do it decently and in order, and doesn't mean we should do it against the unity. We should do it in a united way, not divided. In fact, there was a place Apostle Paul was saying that women should keep quiet in the church. That if they have anything, they should tell their husbands, and then the husband should say it in the church. Yeah. So those are ways to ensure order in the church. Now, I'm not trying to say that women should not be ministers of God. That is not the point. God has given callings to both men and women. Even from the Old Testament days, we have women as prophets. Yeah, so God has been using women even from the Old Testament days. Yeah, but what Apostle Paul meant by women should not be allowed to teach and preach in the church is that if that woman does not have a call, meaning that she has not received a special assignment from God to minister, and there are men inside that church that have been chosen as leaders, the men should be preferred first than the women. Yeah, that's what Apostle Paul was trying to say. Yeah, that's only in cases of divine calling should women lead over men in the church. Should women be ruling over men? Only when that woman I mean, only in a case when that woman has received a calling from God or an assignment from God, can she be a leader over men. But outside that case, men should always be in leadership position. At least men should be chosen first before they can consider women. And it won't just be a woman that has matured in the knowledge of God, a woman that has been trained in the word of God, then they can give some leadership positions to those women. Yeah, because in the church, it is not only people that have calling and spiritual gifts that are given leadership positions. Yeah, some people can be trained by apostles, by pastors, and after they have been tested and proven to be faithful to the doctrine of Christ, they can give them certain duty to do in the church. So that is the context in which Apostle Paul was saying women should not teach. He was talking about context of leadership in the case where there are men in that church and then you choose the woman to lead them. Not that God said the woman should be given the position. Yeah, so in as much as we all have something to say in meetings or something to minister because of the gifts of God in our lives, we must do everything orderly according to the scriptures. So we must respect the divine authority that God has placed in the church. So that was why he said women should not just talk anyhow in church meetings, that he would want women to discuss with their husbands. And then the husband can now present the situation. So women can talk if the pastor said, okay, we want to hear you talk now. Yeah, so Apostle Paul was just concerned about order and that divine authority must be respected and obeyed in the church. So that was why you wrote those things in the scriptures. Yeah, so the third one that we looked at was 3C. Point 3C, with united singing during worship. United singing during worship. We should sing in unity, which I said it can, you know, this can be very powerful if we sing together in unity, even if we pray in unity. Yeah, meaning that everyone is praying the same thing at the same time. In faith, it will always produce great power in the realm of the spirit. Even in the physical realm, it will always produce great power. So now let's continue from that point C, which was where we stopped. Point C. Now, another scripture is Matthew chapter 26, verse 30. Matthew chapter 26, verse 30. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out. Yeah, we can see from this verse that Jesus and the disciples, they also sang. Yeah, maybe you have not read it in the Bible that even Jesus and the apostles, they sang songs together. That is a very example of that. Yeah, and that was in Matthew chapter 26, verse 30. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Yeah, so even Jesus and the disciples, they sang songs together in fellowship to worship the Lord. Also in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12, it says, in the midst of the church will I sing praise. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12. Yeah, so let me just encourage all of you again on this issue of singing in unity during fellowship. Yeah, that don't just close your mouth when brethren are singing during church meetings. Yeah, your deliverance might be in that session. Yeah, some people's deliverance has been programmed by God into certain sessions of the church programs or church meeting. So your own deliverance might not come at the time they are doing prayer points. Yeah, or when they are doing the sermon. Your own deliverance might have been programmed by God to happen during the worship and praises session in that service, in that church service or meeting. So if worship and praises are going on and then you are just looking around, you just close your mouth, you're not talking, you're not singing along, you might miss your divine visitation. Yeah, so that is why make sure that you sing. Even if you cannot sing, just sing what you can sing. Yeah, because some people, they will say, I don't have the voice to sing. Yeah, it's not about voice, whether you have voice to sing or not. It's about your heart. Yeah, God listens to our hearts first before our voice or words. What goes on in your heart is more important than what comes out of your mouth. Yeah, in fact, heaven is more sensitive to what is in your heart than what comes out from your mouth. Yeah, so if you are thinking you don't have a good voice, so you cannot sing, that is not acceptable. That excuse is not acceptable. So whatever way you can sing, just sing. Yeah, so when you are in a fellowship or in a church, make sure that you sing along. Like I said during the last class, that even if you don't know the song, learn the song along the line and join the singing together also with prayer. I mean, you need to do the same too when it comes to prayer session. Make sure you pray, you just close your mouth. Yeah, some people they say they will tell you and say, I am praying with my mind. So even if I don't see anything, God will hear. Yeah, that is a lie. that is a lie from the pit of hell. Your voice, I call it divine catalyst. Your voice is a catalyst. Now, in science, a catalyst is something. Sometimes it could be an enzyme. A catalyst is a substance that speeds up biochemical reactions. Yeah. So if certain operations of God is to happen in the earth realm, must speak out. Not that you just close your mouth and then you are saying God. You are saying God can hear my mind. I am praying with my mind. I am singing with my mind. Yeah. And then other people are speaking out, they are singing out, and then you just keep quiet. You say you are doing it in your mind. That is very bad. I don't know if I can use that word. That is very wrong. Yeah, and you are missing. If you close your mouth during fellowship, you are missing a lot. Yeah, because your voice, we initiate some explosive manifestation of God's power. That is why you have to speak out. Yeah, your voice will do the work of you know, when you take a matchstick. From a matches box, you take a matchstick to light fire, and then you put the fire to the gas, and then the gas starts burning. So your voice is like striking a matchstick on a matchbox to produce fire. That is what our voices do during prayer, during singing, during fellowship meetings, or during worship. Your voice is going to cause a spark in the spiritual realm that will produce fire. And then because the presence of God is the presence of God is like the gas or the fuel. Yeah, so there will be explosion. That is why you have to speak out. So you don't just close your mouth during church meetings. So maybe you have been closing your mouth during our prayer sessions. Stop doing that. So make sure you speak out. Everything we say, you say them out. Every song we sing along. Yeah, so this is where the power of God visits you. It is at that point the power of God begin to touch you. Yeah, because you cry out, you sing out, you speak out. Yeah, may the Lord help those of you who have not been doing that. Amen. So now let's move to point D, still under holding meetings. Point D says end meetings with prayer. End meetings with prayer. Which means when we have a meeting, we shouldn't just leave casually. Yeah, by the time we are closing the meeting, there should be a closing prayer. Yeah, now let's look at where the deep is in the scripture. In Acts chapter 20, verse 36. Acts chapter 20, says, and when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. He kneeled down and prayed with them all. So that was when he was going to depart from them. So this was Apostle Paul. When he was going to leave them, after he had told them many things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Yeah, so we should end meetings with prayer. Also in Acts chapter 21, verse 5 to 6. Acts 21:5-6. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children, till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. Verse 6. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship and they returned home again. Yeah, so this is another place in the scripture where after a fellowship was to be dissolved, like a meeting is to end, they prayed. Yeah, so this is something we have to do. So even if you feel like my house is not a church and I'm not a pastor, so I don't think we should make this fellowship look like the way they do in the church where they say closing prayer. Yeah, you have to make it look like that. There have to be a closing prayer. So maybe some brethren just came to your house and all of you were talking spiritual things, talking scripture together. Maybe two people came to your place and then you were discussing spiritual things. At the end of the discussion, try and pray together with them. All of you should pray. Yeah. So we should be ending meetings with prayer. Yeah. So it's apostolic doctrine and is very good. Yeah, as we can see in the scripture. Yeah. So it doesn't matter whether the fellowship hold in the church building. Anywhere the fellowship holds, even if you are talking to someone over the phone, maybe the person asks you some questions about spiritual things, and then you discuss spiritual things together for some time. Before you hang the call, let a prayer end that meeting. End the meeting with a prayer. Don't just depart like that. Yeah, I might not be able to tell you why the apostles were doing this, or the early church Christians, why they always do this. But I believe that it must have been inspired by the Holy Spirit. Because everything written in the Bible are inspired by the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So, and if we follow that pattern, we will see the power of God that is there. We would encounter the power that those people who were doing it in those days encountered. Yeah. So now we are moving to point he, still under holding meetings. point E. It says fellowshipping together constantly. Fellowshipping together constantly. Which I'm going to read Acts chapter 2, verse 46. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Yeah, it says, continuing daily. Yeah, that's the point. Continuing daily. So they were not doing this meeting once in a while. They were not doing it once in a week, once in 2 weeks, or once in a month. They were having meetings every day in the temple. Every day. Yeah, I believe they had certain hours in the day. They just meet and have prayers. Yeah, I believe that was what was going on. Yeah. I believe they had certain hours they meet. I believe they call those hours of prayer. Yeah. I don't know if you are familiar with the Islamic religion. Some of you might be familiar with the Islamic religion. Now, if you look at the Islamic religion, they have certain hours they meet in their temple every day. A devoted Muslim will always be in their temple in those hours to say prayer. Yeah, and they are so committed to it. So I believe the apostles were doing something like that. Yeah, that's why it says continuing daily with one accord in the temple. Yeah, and to confirm this, let me look for a place in the Bible that confirms this, which some of you have heard about, or you should have read that place in the Bible, where a lame man was healed, verse 10. The book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 10. It says, and yeah, let me read the specific place. Yeah, I think let me just read the verse 1. Acts chapter 10 was after the healing had took place. But let me just read verse 1. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Yeah, you get that. So there are always hours of prayer every day. I don't know if you have seen what I'm trying to show you here. So meaning that every day they always go to the temple to pray at certain hours every day. I don't know if you are getting it. Yeah, let me read from New Living Translation. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. Yeah, they went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. So meaning that every 3 o'clock in the afternoon, prayer will be going on in the temple. So maybe there was a prayer that would happen in the morning hours, then another prayer will happen at 3, maybe another one will happen at 6, I don't know. But what I know is that every day, there's always program going on in the temple, which the apostles are doing. I don't know if you are getting this revelation. Of course, it's not a revelation, it's a common thing then. But today, we are not doing that. Yeah, but it's something they do then. So it's like they prayed around the clock. Yeah. I know of a church, when that church started, when the founder was still alive, when the founder started that church, I was told that that man always have prayer maybe 4 times daily. He will ring bell. He always have prayer in his house, maybe 4 or 5 times daily. I learned that he will ring bell early in the morning, maybe around 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. And then when it is 9 a.m., he will ring another bell to call people to pray. And then when it is 3, he will ring another bell to call people to pray. And then I think when it is evening, maybe 6, he will call people to pray again. So maybe 4 times, they said that man always do that from the time he started the ministry till he died. Yeah, so it could be that he got the revelation from this place that we just read in the scripture. Yeah, so the apostles were having meetings every day. Yeah, not once in a week, not once in 3 days. They were having meetings every day. Every day. Now, maybe I should read verse 46 again. I mean, Acts chapter 2, verse 46 from this translation. It says, they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meal with great joy and generosity. It says, the early church Christians, they worshiped together at the temple each day. Yeah, each day. I don't know if you are saying that. Each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. So everyone was sharing what they have with others with so much joy and generosity. And they met in homes. So at the point, they were going to each other's houses to do Lord's Supper, which is taking of the Holy Communion. Yeah, so my point here is that fellowship meetings should be how will I put it now? Should be so persistent or so often. Should be done so often. Yeah, fellowship meetings should be done so often. It should be done so I don't know if I can use the word persistent. Yeah, but we should do it in a regular, and we should do it on a regular basis. We should do it frequently. Yeah, I think that's the word. We should do it frequently. Fellowship meetings. Yeah. That the way we are doing, most churches and ministries are doing now. Now, if I want to ask that, why is it that churches don't meet daily like the apostles always do? Now, in the case of the apostles, it is more of prayers. Yeah, it's more of prayers that they do on this frequent basis. It's more of prayers. Yeah, so when it comes to like teaching, preaching, yeah, there to be some time set for that. Yeah, because even the preacher and the teacher have to prepare. Yeah, but when it comes to like worship, praising God, and prayer, there shouldn't be a specific time set for that. That can be done as many times as possible. Yeah, it can be done as many times as possible. Yeah, but sometimes the Holy Spirit can set time and say, look, it's a leisurely prayer program. I mean, the Holy Spirit can speak to church leaders and set a time for certain programs. But apart from special programs, we should be having frequent meetings, especially for praise, worship, and prayers. Yeah, there are some others, maybe like discipleship, like training people, teaching, those one might not be that frequent. Yeah, but worship, praises, prayer should be very frequent. You know, yeah, it should be more frequent. And I think that was what kept the early church together. Yeah, that was one of those things that kept the early church together. Now, because the more frequent we meet, we meet together, the more united we become, especially when all of us are of one mind. The more frequent we have meetings, the more united we become, and the more powerful we become. Yeah, so if there is opportunity to follow this pattern, I think we should follow this pattern by having fellowship meetings constantly. Now, I understand that later the apostles were stopped from, if you read church history, even if you read the Bible, you will see that later the apostles were stopped from meeting at the temple. They were stopped from entering into the synagogues. And at the point, many of them were even, they ran away because the persecution was so strong. Many of them were persecuted and they had to flee from Jerusalem to other places. But even still, they did not stop that. Yeah. Yeah, so this practice continued with the apostles. it continued with the apostles. Yeah, so if it is possible, meaning that if there are brethren who are probably, let's say, they are not on a salary job, if there are brethren who are not on a salary job, who are not going to work, coming back in the evening, if there are brethren who are available, they should be meeting frequently. They should be holding meetings frequently. And in those meetings, the Spirit of the Lord will be doing a lot in those meetings. Some people, they feel like I joined. Even some people in our groups, they feel like I joined the prayer session last week, so I don't think I should join this week. Or they feel like I joined on Wednesday, I don't think I should join on Friday. Yeah, that is wrong, because the apostles, they were having this kind, you know, they were having meetings like this every day in their time. Yeah, they were doing it every day. So if you think the ones we do in this ministry twice, which is for prayers, if you think that is, you know, that is too much for you, that's wrong. Because in the scripture, they were meeting every day. Every day. So I guess the reason why some churches are not following this standard is because some of us are working class people. We go to businesses, we go to our jobs, and stuff like that. Yeah, but even the Islamic people, even while they go to their jobs, they still sneak out to go to their temples to pray at those hours. They have to say something to their God, which of course, their God is not the same with our God. Yeah, so but my point is that if it is possible, any brethren that are available in the church should come together and pray daily in the church or anywhere we hold meetings. Yeah, prayers should be going on in the church and on daily basis. Prayer should not stop. Yeah, it should not stop. Now, it doesn't have to mean you are a pastor. You don't have to be a pastor to follow this pattern. And it doesn't mean that the meeting must look like Sunday service. No, it doesn't have to look like Sunday service. It doesn't have to look like some special program. It's just like we come together to praise God, to worship God, and to pray. Yeah, and sometimes we can share word of exhortation during the process. Yeah, and if we allow the Holy Spirit to move, God can do miracles, mighty things during those one of those hours, like what happened in Acts chapter 3. During one of those hours, that man got healed, the man at the beautiful gate. So Peter and John were just going, they were going at 3 o'clock to do another session of prayer. Then the power of God moved. So we never know when exactly the power of God will move. So if we are always presenting ourselves before God to pray, to worship, one of those times, God will show up in a mighty way to solve many problems in our lives, even in our communities. Yeah, so this is an apostolic standard and doctrine that I think we should go back to. Yeah, I think we should go back to it. I think if there's any church building, I think that building should be a place where prayer is being said every day, and not just once a day, but many times a day, where people come together to pray. Yeah, prayer should be what we should be doing without stopping, and we should be doing it very frequently. Yeah. If some members are not available, let those that are available do it, and let them pray for the others that are not available. Yeah, I think this apostolic doctrine should be followed at this time if we really want to see great move of God in our time. Now, let's move to point four. Point four is another point. Point three was holding meetings. So point four is being of one mind and working together in unity. Yeah, when we come together in fellowship, we should be of one mind, and then we should work together in unity. I'll try as much as possible to see if I can finish the whole teaching today, so that we'll move to a brand new topic next week. Now, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Yeah, so if we meet together in fellowship, we should be of one mind. We should speak the same thing. There should be no division among us. This is how fellowship should be. In fact, if a fellowship would not have this characteristic, I think that fellowship should not exist at all. If the people there wouldn't be of one mind, if they would not speak the same thing, if they would be divided, then I think they should not come together at all, because heaven is not divided. Heaven is a kingdom with the strongest unity ever. Yeah. So, as Christians, we must be united. We must be united. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25, it says should be that there should be no schism in the body. Yeah, I don't know if that's the right way to pronounce it. S-C-H-I-S-M. So, which I believe it has to do with division. Yeah, and that verse was saying that we should care for the same thing. Also, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, says we should be like-minded, being of one accord, of one mind, being of one accord, of one mind. Yeah. There are so many things God would have done today in the church if we have one mind. There are a lot of exploits we would have done for God's kingdom on earth if we are of one mind. There are great and mighty miracles that would have happened through Christians all over the world if we are of one mind. In fact, some nations would have been totally conquered by God's kingdom if Christians are of one mind. So it is so important that we are of one mind. So important. Extremely important. Yeah, and I think there was a time we did a very lengthy teaching on love. Yeah, which I said a lot about unity. Yeah, so you can go over those teachings again and see how I explained how unity is in love. I mean, how to love is to be united, and how to not be united means you don't have love. Yeah. So may God help the church to be united, because sometimes I begin to wonder if we can ever be united. Yeah, with so many things I see in the church today. Sometimes I begin to wonder if we would ever be united. Yeah, but as it is written that, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. So I believe it's not impossible for God to make us united. Yeah, but if God's going to do that, we have a lot of repentance to do. A lot. Yeah, because today there's so much competition going on in the body of Christ. So much envy. Yeah. So much disloyalty. Yeah, people trying to bring down others. We are not supporting each other, but we are pulling down ourselves. A lot of evil and witchcraft, hatred, bitterness, unforgiveness going on in the church. That's why I wonder sometimes if we can ever be united. But like I said, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, let's look at the last point. Then we are done with this teaching. I mean, with the whole teaching on believers' fellowship. The last point is, using fellowship to witness, which is point five, using fellowship to witness. Yeah, what that means is that you can, this is one of the strategies that Jesus Christ Jesus Christ used to win souls during his time on earth as a man. Now, using fellowship to witness the gospel is a way of having meetings with unbelievers and religious people, and then bringing up discussions, like, let's say you and some people, maybe like 6 or 5 or 8, you're together talking, and then you now sort of raise up some discussion or some questions, some interesting topics that is, you know, that has to do with what everyone is passing through or what is affecting everyone. And then you just raise up that topic and say, well, what can you say about this? And then you see some of the people start talking, oh, this is what I feel about this. This is what I feel about the government or in our country. This is what I feel about what is going on in this country and stuff like that. So, you know, while everyone is trying to share their own points of view, then you bring up the gospel and then you introduce the gospel to them at that point. Yeah, so that is the strategy of using fellowship to witness. Like in Matthew chapter 9, verse 9 to 13, yeah, those Pharisees were accusing Jesus by saying, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Yeah. Then later Jesus said, I am come to call the righteous. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So Jesus would, you know, he would go to parties where we, you know, where it is known to all that people who attend those parties are unclean, sinners, filthy people, unrighteous people. And Jesus would take his disciples. They would go to those places and he would associate with them. He would bring himself so low to their level, talk to them, and perhaps maybe Jesus would crack jokes with them. I don't know. Yeah, and then during those meetings, there's a way he stylishly introduce the kingdom of God to them. Yeah, because the kingdom of God, the message of God's kingdom, is wrapped up in everything you are looking at right now. The message of God's kingdom is in every situation you find yourself. There's no situation that happens to people on earth that does not have a message of God's kingdom in it. No situation. Yeah. Even in a situation where people are drinking alcohol and they are drinking to stupor, there's a message of God's kingdom right there. So meaning that you can use what happens to people on daily basis, you can use it to introduce Jesus to them. You can use it to introduce the kingdom of God to them. Yeah. So there's a message of God's kingdom in everything on earth, in every situation on earth. So it's just for God to open your eyes to see where the message is. So when people are sick, there's a message of God's kingdom there. When people are healed and healthy, there's a message of God's kingdom there. When people are poor, there's a message there. When people are rich, there's a message there. When people are strong, there's a message in that. And even when they are weak, there is a message of God's kingdom there. Yeah, when people die, There's a message of God's kingdom there. So Jesus was using that, he was using that strategy to open the eyes of people to see the kingdom of God, even in what they are going through, even in their weakest states, even in their unclean states. So Jesus was not condemning them. Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, Jesus was not going to those unbelievers to condemn them. But he went to have fellowship with them so that they can be saved, so that they can be redeemed, so that they can be justified, so that he can pull them out of hell into the kingdom of God. Yeah, so if you have friends, relatives, or neighbors who are unbelievers, there's nothing wrong in engaging them in discussions and trying to introduce God and the truth of God's kingdom in the process. Yeah, this is one of the most powerful strategies in soul winning. So you take the gospel to where people are, to where they really are. Whether they are in offices, they are in hospitals, anywhere they are, you just go there to make friend. Not that making friend like to join them in committing sin, no, but just to engage them in discussion so that in the process, you can shine the light to them. So even in your place of work, you can introduce Jesus. Anywhere there are people, just engage discussions. And make sure your own discussion is always pointing to God. Make sure you are always pointing to God. So before you know it, they will join you in looking to God. And before you know it, they will start thinking about what you said during the discussion. And before you know it, they will surrender their lives to Jesus. Yeah, so don't just isolate some people and say, these people, they are unclean, which was what the Pharisees were doing in those days. They isolated some people, some group of people. They said they are unclean, they are unrighteous, they are ungodly. So they condemned them and said, this one, Jesus, God is not for them. God's kingdom is not for them. Yeah, but Jesus said, I have not come to call the righteous. I've come to call the sinners to repentance. So I have to go to where they are. I have to mingle with them so that in the process, I can save them. Even Apostle Paul said that it became many things to save people. So he would bring himself so low to those people's standards so that he can bring them out of darkness. Yeah. So you should do the same also. The fact that someone is a prostitute or is a sexual addict, or he's sexually addicted to all kinds of sexual sins, doesn't mean you should condemn the person. Yeah, the fact that someone is a drug addict, is a drunkard, or whatever, or that person is an idolater, worship other gods, doesn't mean you should condemn the person. Jesus did not condemn those people in his days. He didn't say, oh, you are a racist, you are an immoral, you are wicked, so I don't want to have anything to do with you. Jesus did not do that. Jesus mingled with those people, including politicians. He mingled with them, meaning that people Jesus knew that they are wicked people. In fact, people Jesus knew they have killed. Jesus knew some of those people have killed people and shed innocent blood. He knew some of them have used human beings as for sacrifices. He knew what those people practiced in those days. But Jesus did not condemn them. He mingled with them. He engaged them in discussions. not to join them in their darkness, but to find a way of bringing them out. So that is how we should witness at this time. Don't just separate some people. But if they can't come to your church, then you just leave them. They don't have to come to your church. What your focus should be is let them come to go into God's kingdom. They don't have to do certain things before you. They don't have to dance to your tune. But take Jesus to them and let's see what Jesus can do to them. So later, what you think they cannot become, they might become very pure, very holy later. But now, humble yourself, reach out to them. Come down to their level, reach out to them, trusting that God might use you to save them. Yeah, so before we round up, another scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 27 and verse 31. Yeah, let me read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 27 says, if any of them that believed not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is said before you, heed, asking no question for conscience sake. And verse 31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Yeah, Apostle Paul was writing to these people. He said, if any unbeliever asks you to come to a feast, and you have that chance to go, or you felt God has released you to go, that you should go. And even if they give you food, eat, and don't ask any questions. Because if God releases you to go, it means God can also permit you to hit them, to show them that you have really come to their level. Yeah, there are some missionaries that they went into some cities, or maybe I should call those places some towns or villages or some culture, which is different from their country. And the people in those country or in that environment or village insisted that they must eat their food. That if they don't eat their food, then that means they don't love them. Or that means they count them as irritating. Yeah, so those missionaries had to eat all kinds of food, even food that normally they would, they would not dare eat, something like that. But they have to ask God to give them grace to eat the food of those people so that they can win their souls to God. Yeah, so let us use this strategy in these last days to win souls into God's kingdom. Yeah. If you have friends who are unbelievers, what do you say when you are in discussion with them? Because every discussion you have with such kind of people is an opportunity to lead them to Jesus. So do you also just talk casually and carnally when you are talking with those people? Or do you make use of those moments to somehow show them the kingdom of God, show them the light of the gospel? So let us embrace this strategy, and we will see God glorified. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to stop here. I'm going to stop here. Then we'll be going to, we'll be taking a new topic or a new teaching series next week. Yeah, this the teaching series we'll be doing is very important that every one of you follow him. Yeah, because for some time now, I've been teaching you through a Bible study manual written by a very skillful and anointed brother. Yeah, but now I want to move to a topic that I am the author of the topic. Yeah. So meaning that I have certain things to show you that I think you should, you would not want to miss. Yeah. Is a topic that is very important for Christians in these last days. So what I'll be teaching on is a very important topic. So make sure that you join that series, that teaching series will start next week. Make sure you are part of every of the class we do in that teaching series. If you have questions, you can put on the group. I mean, questions based on what we have discussed today. Yeah, you can put it on the group. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for you are so faithful. Thank you for how much you have opened our eyes to see about fellowship, believers' fellowship, and meetings, gatherings of believers. Thank you for corrections. You have corrected us. Yeah, thank you for how you have corrected the wrong things we do during fellowship. And thank you, Lord, for making us to realize how we should do, how we should do in fellowship meetings. Thank you, Father. I ask, oh God, that the grace to do what is right in every fellowship meeting we find ourselves, Lord, give to us in Jesus' name. I also ask that you give us the grace to make use of fellowship for the purpose of soul winning. The grace to engage all believers in fellowship discussions that would lead their souls out of hell, out of deep darkness, into your light and into your kingdom. Lord, give us the grace to do this. In Jesus' name, help us to turn marketplaces, offices, even the place of our jobs. Help us to turn these places to harvest fields where we can harvest souls into your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, give us wisdom, Father. Thank you, Lord, because we know you shall do more than we have asked. As we'll be starting a new topic next week, Lord, I ask that you bless everyone that will join. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Remain blessed in Jesus' name.